the group to Puerto Rico, if you can consider what I did leading. It was more living alongside. It was more walking alongside these nine other adults. I often believe that as a minister, as an associate here at the Ventura Church of Christ, that I work with our young adults, but that isn't true. I work with our adults. I didn't take anybody on this trip who I didn't think could do what was asked of them. I took responsible people that went far and beyond what was asked of them in their service, in their attitude, and in their words. It's impossible for us to convey to you exactly what it was like to go on this trip, but I can tell you something that was made clear to me, that we were fulfilling the will of God for us, for this specific mission and for this specific work. You know, many of us have asked the same question of God: what is your will for me? What is your plan for me? What is it that you want me to do? And we can lose ourselves asking this question over and over and over again, because so often when we ask this question, we get nothing but silence in return. God, what do you want me to do? If I had to boil the will of God down to its simplest form, and as if I've read the Old Testament, and I love going to the Old Testament for the will of God because we can see His commandments so clearly, I have to conclude that it can be summed up into three simple actions: go, do, and speak. Go, do, and speak. This simple request / command seems to be God's MO when dealing with His servants. Throughout the Old Testament, we see prophets, priests, kings receiving these same types of commands. Now, the where and the what and the words may change, but we can see the building blocks of God's expectations throughout. We see them when He deals with Abraham, when He deals with Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, David, and in countless others' instructions: go, do, speak. And it's no different in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, click over to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 1. We see this all throughout the New Testament, but I want to specifically look at this one situation where Jesus is talking to His 12 disciples, and He is preparing them for the eventual mission that they are going to go on after Jesus dies and is buried and is resurrected. And so we're going to start again in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Now, remember what He is asking them to do. What is their mission and what is their message? He is asking His 12 apostles to go and heal others and to proclaim the kingdom of God to everybody they come across. It is so effective and so successful that we have Luke chapter 10. And so turn over into Luke chapter 10, and we're going to continue reading in verse 1. So what the 12 did led to this mission. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who is promoting peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you." And I love how He repeats that. It seems like that's an important message of God. Eat what's put in front of you. Verse 9. "Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, Go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. This message, this calling was extended both to Judas as well as to Peter. This was extended to Matthew, the tax collector, the one who worked for the Roman government, as well as Simon, the Jewish zealot, the one who would want to kill a Roman tax collector. Regardless of these people's gifts, history, or talents, they all received the same expectation: go, do, and speak. Their mission was to go and heal people, and to connect their healing, to connect this new reality with the kingdom of God, a kingdom that surpasses their current government in compassion, mercy, and grace. Do you believe that people here in Ventura would want to hear this message? Would want to experience people offering the same thing they did? Healing, a new life, a new reality. Do you believe that people in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, in Santa Paula, California, wherever you live, do you believe that people near you want to experience this same type of missionary? People who offer first healing, who are willing to go into their communities to hear what is ailing them and to offer some solution, whatever that might be, some comfort to their life, and then to see them living this out as a kingdom lifestyle. The answer is yes. Yes. People today are desperate to hear of this kingdom. They are desperate to see people who are willing to heal something, to heal them, to offer compassion and comfort to them. They want to see this kingdom on earth. And that is what Jesus is asking of us. People are desperate for this message. But know this: if you do not go, the sick will only get sicker. And your message, our message, will only fall on comfortable ears. People who have heard the same message for 10, 20, 50 years. And as we seclude ourselves into our own kingdom, built out of walls, the sick receive no healing. They do not hear of this kingdom, and they do not see people living this kingdom lifestyle. That is what happens if we do not go. And our issue may be that before we even start, we focus on verse 10 and 11. And I want to reread this. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. How many of us, before we even go on mission, believe that it has already failed? How many of us have shown up to work with the idea, with the purpose of to demonstrate Jesus Christ to your coworker, but as you are on your way to work, you think that this is already a failed attempt, so therefore you don't even try? And this is even a valid concern for them. But when a possible negative outcome of going on mission with Jesus prevents you from going, then I believe you are forgetting what it is you are supposed to do and what it is you are supposed to say. We are to go heal. We are to go to proclaim the kingdom of God and never forget who is telling you to go. That is Jesus Christ, the creator of this universe, who created you, knows your weaknesses, and knows your strengths. It is him who believes that you are responsible enough, that you are good enough to go into Ventura, to Santa Paula, to Arecibo, to anywhere, and proclaim the kingdom of God, that you have something to offer to people who are sick. It's Jesus who sees that in you. You see, Jesus gave the same message and mission to the 12 and to the 72.
Those rules were given to a specific group of people. So what about me? 2,000 years later, the year is 2016. Obviously, the circumstances are different. So what am I supposed to do? I'd like you all to turn with me, if you have a Bible handy, to Matthew chapter 28, and I'll give you time to do that. I'm going to read these verses together. That's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is Jesus giving the Great Commission. He says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'"
Amen.
Jesus was speaking to the apostles, but he is also speaking to us. Go, do, and speak. You have every right to ask me how we, the 10 of us, who went to Puerto Rico, fulfilled the mission and the message Jesus gave to us while we were there. Will talked about some of the lessons that we needed to learn, some of the objectives and situations that we went to. He talked about the Au tribe. I know I certainly learned my lesson repeatedly. Yeah, that's an inside joke. I won't tell that story.
I will.
No, that's okay.
No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to interrupt you. One of the lessons, the point of the Au tribe was to teach cultural sensitivity, and I, being who I am, made it extremely difficult for them to ever teach me anything. And so one of the things that I did, I spoke a different language, and I wanted to make this as difficult for Cameron and for everybody as possible. I set up these chairs in a weird circuit and walked around them. And to me, it was sacred what I was doing. They did not know that. So as Cameron, and as bless his heart, and everybody else came out, they would bump into the chairs, and they would offend me. The problem is Cameron always bumped into those chairs, and I kept getting mad at him, and he had no idea why. At first, I felt a little sorry for him, but I realized we were trying to teach him a lesson about cultural sensitivity.
What I was going to say is that we learned our lesson. But one of those lessons was that we needed to listen before we speak. And the mindset behind that was that we can't just go to people who don't even know us and just tell them how they're going to change their lives. They won't respond to that. What we need to do is build a relationship before we can talk to them about how their lives. Thomas and Doug talked about the worship we were a part of in Puerto Rico. Luis talked about the people we invested ourselves in. People that I know I speak for myself, I believe I speak for all 10 of us, when I say those relationships and friendships we forged continue beyond the week that we stayed there. No one talked about this, but while we were there, we went door to door in a neighboring low-income housing neighborhood, and we invited people to come to church. Chris talked about the labor we did, and though we couldn't speak the same language, there was an English-Spanish barrier, we could definitely see the immediate effect we had on that house that we were helping, the genuine gratitude. This fulfilled our mission and our message while we were in Puerto Rico. So with that in mind, I have every right to ask you, and I want to differentiate, I'm asking you two different questions here. How do you, as the Ventura Church of Christ, the congregation, the body of Christ here in Ventura, how do you fulfill the mission and message here in Ventura? And the other question is very similar. It's very like it. How do you, as an individual member of that body, fulfill the mission and the message here in Ventura? How do you, Bruce Tabor, fulfill this message? How do you, Odessa Holt, fulfill this message? Cameron Keffer, how do you fulfill this message? A few weeks ago, we had a luncheon, and we talked about some community outreach that our members are currently a part of. And some of the things that we were helping were going to nursing homes, women's shelters, Tender Life, other service opportunities. But what are some of the roadblocks we face in fulfilling this message and mission? You may be thinking, visit a shelter for battered women every week, but I could go to the gym. That's really going to cut into my time here. I could be going to that, see that movie that's coming out that I really wanted to see. I could be going on a date that I had planned. But isn't that the point? If we only fit into helping others when it fits our schedule, for me, that's Saturday mornings. I don't have other things going on. I can usually help out on Saturday mornings. If I only help out on Saturday mornings, am I really making that much of a sacrifice? Mm. This commission can't be done by proxy. We don't get to say, oh yes, Dave is helping out at that place downtown, the charity, so Ventura congregation, we're good. It doesn't work like that.
That's right.
Insecurity, familiarity, complacency, comfort. There are many reasons, some more ridiculous than others, that are roadblocks for us fulfilling this mission. Feeling like we've already done enough. I went on a mission trip a month ago. Becomes, I went on a mission trip a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. You may think, I've spent my whole life doing that. I'm too old now and I'm retired. But are you also retired from being a Christian? If you are retired, then you're at an age where you have a unique ability to pass on the knowledge you've accumulated to others. To Cynthia Beck, to Doug Fowler, to Cameron Keffer. Jesus gave the same message and mission to Peter and to you. It doesn't matter about personality, talents. He didn't say those with construction abilities go on a mission trip and build a house, as the 10 of us just proved.
That's right.
He doesn't say, go and talk to people as long as you are comfortable talking to strangers.
That's right.
He gave us all the same message and message. Not once you've gained enough biblical knowledge. Go, do, and speak. I want to encourage you to do better than the 10 of us. Do better than Karen, Linda, Joni, Carolyn, Megan, Ken, and Archie Looper.
Do something great for the kingdom of God that reaches beyond the walls of this building, beyond Ventura city and county limits, beyond the continental United States, and reaches to Puerto Rico, Mexico, and around the world. Go do something, anything for the kingdom of God. And as your support and your family, we will walk right beside you. If you have any needs at all, please come forward as we stand and continue to worship our God.
In heavenly order.